Good morning. Are you all enjoying this wonderful weather we've been having? Although I have a question, and that is, when was winter? I mean, no kidding. Of the however many years I've been up here now, 9 and a half, it's like this has been an amazing season. We just had such wonderful, wonderful weather, and now the spring has been glorious as well. What a blessing. How blessed we all are to live up here. You know, when I first moved up here, and that's why I'm so happy Kim's here this morning, I will say that the hard thing was leaving Kim. Because Kim, before she got married, you may have heard the stories where we had a house built together and lived together, had great relationship. For years, she would go to all my retreats with me, pray with me, cover me. It was truly wonderful. And then she got married. No, she married a man who treasures her. And but when I moved up here, it was hard to leave Kim. And yet it's been such a blessing up here as well. And we see each other still. She calls me faithfully. I mean, I am very, very blessed because, you know, some moms don't get to talk to their daughters every day. And Kim and I, that's pretty much our norm, sometimes a couple of times a day. So that is a gift that I don't take lightly. This morning, I'm wanting us to consider a power that each one of us has. And some of us may be keenly aware of it. Others of us might think, no, I definitely don't have that power. And yet the truth is there's not one woman in this room who has not exerted that power. Sometimes it's a power to be reckoned with, you know, because it's a force that is so evident to all. Other times it can seem, you know, just seemingly quiet, as if it's really something hardly even to be taken into account. And yet all the while, even that is every bit as powerful is when it is demonstrated in a more visible way. I'm speaking about the power we have to influence one another. And again, there are people who are strong and vocal and have a gift of words or whatever, and we might think, oh yeah, they have that sphere of influence, which would be true. But it's so easy for the person who may be shy, you know, quiet, retiring, to think, well, in my life it doesn't really even count because I really don't have any. Yet that's not true. I think of one of the shyest, most retiring people that I know. And it's my friend Corrine in Southern Oregon. And if you've come to my studies over the years, you'll always hear me tell stories about Corrine. Because she is a woman who is a godly woman and has just blessed me personally many, many times just by her life. And I've listened to her stories. Well, I mean, I literally had to pull them out of her when I first got to know her. But I got to know her story so well that she would say, you know my life better than I do. But I would not exaggerate her stories, even though her stories might have sounded like, I don't think it could be that extreme. She's the one who... I tell that story. She was married to a man who was diagnosed to have 10 years to live, and then he ended up living 20 years, and yet that entire time, there she is with seven children, taking care of them, and being an awesome wife and an awesome mom. She's the one who, with the one time that she could remember that she really, really, really got upset with her husband and was walking out of the bedroom and going downstairs, she heard the Lord say, "This can be defeated with love." And then she would share the story of how, in fact, the Lord did do that. So she's a woman who has blessed me, but she grew up in a home where, as she says, her mother wore the pants. That was the expression people used to use. Her mother was strong, domineering, just wanted to control every situation, run the whole show, and not a particularly easy person to live with. Her father was quiet, a man of few words, a man who worked hard to provide for his family, a man who loved his family. And what Corrine observed growing up were the many times that her mom and dad would be in arguments. And by that I mean her mom would be kind of railing on her dad for various reasons. And she said, "My dad would be so patient." And she said, "And then when he really got to the place that he couldn't take it anymore, he'd reach for his hat, he'd put on his hat, and he'd go for a walk, a long walk." Now you would think to yourself, boy, that mother sure must have influenced her. Well, she did, but her father influenced her in a greater way. When she watched that behavior and listened to her mother, she said, "I just remember thinking over and over again, that isn't right. A wife should not speak to her husband that way." And it wasn't like they were even walking with the Lord. So she wasn't hearing that anywhere else. It just resonated in her own heart. This is wrong. And she said she just determined in her own heart she would never speak to her husband that way. She would never be that kind of a wife. And truly, Corrine is so shy that you could probably sit in the same room with her and never even hear her say one word unless you approached her. She's warm, she's very, very loving, but she's just very, very shy. As she would say, painfully shy. So in Corrine's life, this woman who would never stand up to tell you all about herself, this woman who would serve if something was going on, but hardly ever be seen. This woman who raised kids, took care of her husband for 20 years. Think of the influence that she has had on those around her and on those she's never even met. I thought of all the women. When I see her, I'll say, "Corrine, I still tell your stories." And she'll go, "Oh, Judy," you know. But I think of all the people that have heard my stories about her and have been impacted, because every time I tell one of her stories, there's feedback about it. And a couple of times on Facebook, I've shown her picture and said, "This is Corrine. This is the woman I tell the stories about, because I want you to see she's a real person." Corrine has influenced many to godly behavior, to a woman who chose to live selflessly, laying down her life for those she loved. So you don't have to be some strong, powerful, dynamo-type personality to have a sphere of influence. We all have a sphere of influence, and that's what I want us to see and to acknowledge, because we need to yield that to the Lord every day. Not think, oh, no, this isn't about me, because yes, it is. And you need to yield it to the Lord, asking him to use your life in the way he wants to use it. It's so easy to have this something we hardly even think about. You know, as if the people we came in contact with every day didn't even notice us, weren't touched by us. Just as a little experiment last week, just, you know, my little single life, I can do all these things. I thought, I wonder how, just on a very surface level, just smiling at people would influence the circumstances. And so I go to a gym, and usually as you walk into the gym and walk down the hall, you know, you're always passing people. And as a rule, it's just like everybody's just kind of walking this way, or they're reading their phones, they're doing whatever, but there's no interaction. And I just told myself, smile. You know, I made myself smile the whole way down, a Jesse Bittner smile. And I was amazed, because people not only looked and smiled back, but they spoke. I mean, this was without my initiating it. They would say, hi, or good morning. Or so, and I just thought, wow, that's really funny. And the same thing when I went into a store. I would smile at the people, and people interacted with me. They chose to initiate conversations. It's amazing how we do influence those around us. But the one thing I did notice is it did require something of me to do that. And it was to come out of myself, you know, to think about it. That took a little bit of energy to not just be living in my own world, which I think we do. We live up here and we're going, you know, doing our thing, but we're thinking about what we're doing and the next place we're going, and just about us. So this is what I'm wanting us to consider this morning. You know, I'm not so much talking about going around smiling and seeing how it looks in your life, what happens at the store, though those areas in our life are important too. I am wanting you to just ask the Lord to help you to take a closer look at how your influence impacts, is felt in your home, in your family, with your friends. And if you work out of the home, at the workplace. The thing that I want to know, and that we need to ask ourselves, is if the relationships we enjoy with the Lord, if the relationship we enjoy with the Lord is being manifested in our life and blessing others. It should be. Last year, our study was called Evidence of Love. And we went through the various attributes of love that we read about in 1 Corinthians 13. I have the little, we pass that out to everybody, that little card with those attributes. We read that love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. And in this study, we examined our own lives and asked the Lord to have His love be manifested in our lives. And the whole thing that it was based upon is the fact that because He indwells us, His life in us should be evidenced by others. Last fall, I felt that the Lord gave me two scriptures that were to be foundational for this study. The first, Matthew 11, 28 through 30, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The second scripture was Ephesians 5, the first verse. "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." The Lord lived a life of love. In last year's study, He showed us what love looks like. And yet this year's study has had the emphasis on rest. And initially, it kind of felt to me as if the two studies were different from each other. But now I am realizing that they're really on parallel paths. The teaching last year on love was others-centered. And the teaching on rest somehow to me felt more us-centered. And yet, I'm seeing a definite connection between the two. I think He's showing us that by embracing His rest, we'll find ourselves freed up to live a life of love. You know, our daily burdens weigh us down. Proverbs 12:25, "An anxious heart weighs a man down." A life devoid of the Lord's rest will inevitably be me-centered. But the life that is lived in His rest will be others-centered. I think of the times when I am not experiencing His rest. Where are my thoughts? You know, what's preoccupying my mind? My own issues. That's what I'm thinking about. And my brain feels busy and cluttered, and there's an ongoing conversation going with myself. What a contrast to those times when I'm receiving His rest. And I'm not talking about when everything in my life is A-OK, when there aren't any real particular problems that I'm dealing with. I hope that in the months of this study, we have come to realize that has nothing to do with receiving the Lord's rest. And that's a good thing, because we will always have various challenges and hurts, difficulties, problems that will be trying to weigh us down. But the Lord has rest for us every single day. And that's the rest we need to embrace and can embrace. A verse I have underlined and circled in my Bible is Psalm 62:5. "Find rest, O my soul, in God alone, and alone is circled. You know, it reminds me, don't look for rest as soon as this gets cleared up, as soon as this problem has been resolved. No, look for the rest in God alone. And the wonderful thing is he will never disappoint us. He will be there for us. When I find that rest, I'm so much more settled inside. I'm quiet. I'm at rest. And yes, there's a conversation going on in my head, but it's no longer with myself. It's with the Lord. When I am at rest, those are the times that I easily hear him speaking to me. Whether it might be in my quiet time in the morning, or even during the day, that he might bring someone to mind. And I know that at least I need to pray for that person. But maybe he would even prompt me to call or to write a note. But what I love is that when I am quiet, that is when I sense his heart. That's when I sense his communication. Then I can be others-centered. In Galatians 2:20, Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Isn't that the life we all want to live? And how we need to see our lives through that lens. That wherever we are, whatever we're doing, Christ is there. He is with us. And his life is a life of love. We need to acknowledge that our lives do influence others. That we each have a sphere of influence, and the Lord gives it to us daily. The opportunity to influence others whose lives that we share. It's a privilege. It shouldn't be taken lightly. I think of the book of Ruth. It's one of my favorite books. And I think of Ruth and Naomi. You know, she's one of my favorites. Their circumstances were dire, but throughout the book, Ruth gives us this sense of peace, the sense of a calm spirit that emanates from Ruth. I love how Boaz ascribed that calm, that peace, as being because she had taken refuge under the wings of the Lord. That's where that came from. That's how he identified it. And there's no question that Ruth's calm had a great influence on all around her, and it surely won her favor. In Proverbs 3:3, it says, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. And I always felt that described Ruth perfectly, because we know she was a loyal, faithful, loving person. And her life, though apparently a very quiet one, had a wonderful influence on the people around her. Consider Daniel. When the book starts, Daniel's a young man, you know. Some say maybe he was even as young as 17. And by the time we are at the end of the book, he's supposed to be around 85. But But think of his life in Babylon. He was constantly in a place where opposition surrounded him. People tried to lay snares for him, trying to set him up for his life to be taken, ended. We don't hear of him having any great big protests or anything. He just did what? He quietly was faithful, loved his God, honored his God, worshiped his God. He just kept that one aim in his life. And the Lord took care of him. And did Daniel have a sphere of influence? Yes, in the lives of kings. It would really be interesting to know that we know some of the conversations, but to just know just to what degree his life influenced the kings that he was under. But we know that he impacted many. Surely we desire to influence others to godliness. I don't think any of us would be here if we weren't desiring a closer walk with the Lord, a relationship with the Lord that he could use to touch and to bless others. You know, surely we need to recognize that he will use us. And again, I mean, some of us, and I never get over the privilege, we get to be like up front. And that's an amazing thing to me, that the Lord would give me that privilege. But there are some of you who, unless someone came up to you, you would not necessarily initiate a conversation. And maybe in your groups, you're very, very quiet. How easy it would be for you to think, oh, so-and-so, she has influence. But not me, I don't. And you're the one I'm really hoping will recognize that, yes, you do have influence. The Lord will use and wants to use each one of us. And that is something we should never take lightly. The word tells us that we should edify or build up those who are around us. And there are lots of ways we can do that. It can be as simple as just taking time to listen to someone, giving their words worth. We can affirm and encourage people. We can share scriptures with them. We can pray for them. But don't underestimate that while doing these things, we can also be imparting to them the rest that we have received from the Lord. Granted, the Lord's invitation is to each one of us. He wants each one of us to come to him and rest. But even so, he will use us to impart his rest to others. And invariably, they will be blessed by it. People will even be drawn to you if you have the Lord's rest. Think of those times when you've been stressed or anxious or depressed. Did you want to go to a person who would just mirror back to you whatever you were telling them about? I mean, just wholeheartedly agree regarding your crisis and just be saying, oh, that is terrible. Oh, that is awful. And then they come up with things that maybe you didn't even think of that make the situation even worse. It's like, and what if? And then you think, oh, I didn't even think of that. You know, is that the person you turn to when you are stressed and heavily burdened? No, that's not who you're drawn to. Don't you gravitate to that person who reflects his peace, who will listen calmly to you, not trying to minimize what you're going through, but listening compassionately with the Lord's heart, then responding to you with his love and with his gentleness? Isn't that the person to whom you turn? The person who knows that God is bigger than your problems. That's who you want to talk to. The person who can say to you with a confidence that his grace is sufficient, that his strength is going to be made perfect in your very weakness. That's who we're drawn to talk to. And those are the people that the Lord will minister to us through. I would say that a person like that is a person whose life is filled to the brim with the Lord's rest. It's a definite fruit of his or her relationship with the Lord. And that rest will have a wonderful effect as it just overflows your own life and spills onto all those who are around you. That's the sphere of influence that I'm talking about. I hope you see it. I hope the Lord will help you to recognize it, especially if you're one of those shy, quiet people who perhaps came in this morning and would have thought, yeah, I would have been one of those people that never thought I had influence. I pray the Lord is just going to nudge you today and in the days to come, just helping you to see that in fact you have influenced. You know, when a person even just comes up to you and thanks you for anything, realize, oh, I guess I actually had an effect on that person's life. It is a privilege. It is a blessing. The Lord indwells us. He wants to minister through us to others, whether it's with other believers or with those who don't even know the Lord yet. But realize that wherever you are, the Lord is there also because he indwells you. When you are in the company of unbelievers, remind yourself, you know what? By virtue of the fact that you're there, you may be bringing them closer to the Lord than they've been in a long time, just because he indwells you. And let him work through you. Each one of us know how the Lord has blessed us, has ministered to us. And it's out of that blessing, it's out of his love showered on us that we can in turn minister to those who are in need. I know this is a familiar verse to all of you. It's one I love. 2 Corinthians 1, and it's verses 3 through 5. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. And it's the same with rest. When we come to Him and we receive His love, He wants it to just fill us to the brim so that it overflows in our lives and touches others. My prayer is that we would all respond to the Lord's invitation to come to Him, to receive His rest, and to know that He will use it as we take it in to the point of overflowing, and it will bless and flow over onto everyone else that we touch. Let's pray. Father, I thank You because I know, Lord, it is Your heart to bless, to minister, to love on, to touch, to encourage, and Lord, to think that You would use us to do that is an amazing thought. And yet, Lord, my prayer would be that we would realize that we no longer live, but You in us, even as Paul said. And for that, Lord, we will have to decrease and You increase. That is our prayer. Have Your way in our lives, Lord. Would You bless each woman here? Would You show her that, in fact, she has a sphere of influence, and Lord, may she use it for godliness, to influence others, to draw others to Yourself. Lord, that is our desire. Help us, I pray, even as You indwell us and You lived a life of love. Lord, may that life of love be seen in us. In Jesus' name, amen.